KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have cloudy skies. It's breezy and 13 degrees, and that was our 24-hour low as of 7 a.m. We look for it to become partly cloudy today, a high of 18, winds north-northeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill around 5 degrees below zero. We received 2.8 inches of snowfall here in Atlantic. Peggy Manhart over by Neola told us she had received 3 inches of snowfall, and Ardell McCunn over in Messina had 3 to 4 inches of snowfall on the ground, blowing around quite a bit out there, hard to measure in the country. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The National Weather Service in Des Moines has extended a winter weather advisory for Adams and Taylor counties in our listing area until 9 a.m. Those particular counties can receive anywhere from 3 to 6 inches of snowfall altogether, with winds gusting up to 35 miles per hour. For Union and Ringgold counties further on down to the south, a winter storm warning is now in effect until 9 a.m. for snow accumulations of 6 to 10 inches or more and winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour. In any event, roads are still mostly covered with snow in our listing area. Plan on slippery road conditions today. Blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility and drifting on roadways. The hazardous conditions and poor roads may lead to travel impact through the morning. In addition, there is a tow ban that is currently in effect for most of those counties south of Interstate 80, including Cass, Pottawatomie, and Adair. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers today said the snow ordinance is in effect for his community. No parking is allowed on city streets until the streets have been plowed from curb to curb in Clarinda and the snow is no longer falling. Officers with the Red Oak Police Department Friday night arrested 20-year-old Chad Stanley Padilla of Red Oak. He was taken into custody in the 1600 block of East Summit Street for domestic abuse, assault, second offense, and obstruction of emergency communications. Padilla was being held without bond in the Montgomery County Jail. And the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports 34-year-old Rachel Flathers of Elliott was arrested Friday morning on an assault charge following an incident that occurred on Elm Street in Elliott. Flathers was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. The driver of a 1995 Chevy pickup apparently fell asleep at the wheel early Friday morning and rolled the vehicle into a ditch. The Union County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 27-year-old Dominic Alexander Buchanan of Clearfield was driving east on, or rather west on Highway 34 at around 2:30 a.m. when he fell asleep at the wheel. His pickup went off the road on the north side. Buchanan woke up and overcorrected, causing the pickup to cross the center line of the road and enter the south ditch, where it rolled onto its side and came to rest. Buchanan told authorities he was on the ground for an extended period of time before moving toward the roadway. He attempted to flag down several vehicles before one of them finally stopped and gave him a ride to the hospital in Creston. Authorities say the pickup he was driving sustained about $5,000 damage. Governor Kim Reynolds on Friday announced her appointment of Jennifer Benson Barr as a district court judge in Judicial District No. 4. Barr, who's from Crescent, currently serves as the district associate judge in District 4. She previously served as an assistant Pottawatomie County attorney and has also served as the Webster and Humboldt County attorney. Barr received her undergraduate degree from the University of Iowa and law degree from Drake University School of Law. She fills a vacancy created by the upcoming retirement of District Court Judge James Heckerman. Judicial District 4 includes Audubon, Cass, Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Montgomery, Page, Pottawatomie, and Shelby counties. An expert who studied the Iowa gambling market said the state-licensed casinos in Council Bluffs and Sioux City are going to feel a big impact as Nebraska's casinos ramp up, but he says they will weather the storm. Matt Rowe of Spectrum Gaming Group says there will be some adjustments.
It will be a significant blow to them. They may reduce employment. They may reduce the size of their gaming floors because there's only so much capacity in the market. But they'll be okay. I mean, they're still solid properties. There's still a good amount of revenue that they'll be generating.
And he says the Iowa casinos have some advantages and resources.
You have to remember that the casinos that are here in Iowa, particularly in the Council Bluffs market, are national chain casinos. They've got properties everywhere from Maine to Albuquerque and Las Vegas and Atlantic City. So there are many opportunities for them to cross market.
Rose says they can offer promotions for their properties outside of Iowa, while the Nebraska casinos don't have as many options.
You earn points at a casino in Council Bluffs. You can redeem them at a casino in Las Vegas. If you earn points at a Warhorse casino in Lincoln, you can redeem it at the Warhorse casino in Columbus. I mean, so it's just a different level of competition.
He said the same thing applies in Sioux City, which is a Hard Rock casino. The Council Bluffs market is currently Iowa's largest in terms of revenue. Projections are that Council Bluffs casinos could lose 45% of their market to new Nebraska competition. The report estimates Sioux City's Hard Rock casino could see a loss of $50 million in adjusted gross revenue. Republicans in the Iowa House are considering changes to the application process for government food assistance and health care coverage through Medicaid. One bill would require the state to adopt a new online system to verify a person's income to ensure recipients qualify for government benefits. Andrew Conlin represents a Florida-based group called the Opportunity Solutions Project.
What we'd like to see ultimately is that the state government is doing this electronic verification check for everyone who participates in these programs to the extent that it's allowed under federal law.
Iowa Department of Human Services Director Kelly Garcia isn't opposing the bill, but says that the agency has already made changes to make eligibility checks more accurate. Another bill would require applicants to submit personal information online to confirm their identity. Luke Alzinga is with the Des Moines Area Religious Council, which oversees several food pantries, and he says filing online could be easier for some.
People with transportation barriers, medical reasons that they can't leave their house. But we do think that this should be an option, because by making it a requirement, you're eliminating barriers for some, but you're also creating some additional barriers.
Alzinga said the online registration could be an obstacle for low-income Iowans who don't have internet access. Both bills have cleared a House subcommittee, and this month's report from the Iowa Department of Human Services showed more than 800,000 Iowans are enrolled in Medicaid, and that's about 25% of the state's population. That is a check of the news for this hour on KJA, and I'm Rick Hansen reporting.